Hey, podcasters, thanks for tuning in today. I want you to listen into Jason's call. He's 50 years old, and what's really going on is a fear that it's too late. He doesn't have enough time. Listen in as that call and more come your way right now. Coming to you from Nashville, the Music City, you're joining a conversation about who you are, what you were born to do, where you want to be, and how you can get there. 844-747-2577 is the number. It is your show. It's all about you. You do have the answers to the question, what am I supposed to do with my life? I know they're hard to find. That's why I'm here. I'm going to shine the light of truth. We're going to kind of pull them out of your head and your heart. What do you do best? What do you love to do most? Talent, passion, the intersection of what you love to do and what you do best is where the sweet spot is. Within the sweet spot, there are multiple things you can be doing. And so it's actually not impossible. It's not a long shot to have true discovery, which is stage one of realizing the dream. So we're here for you every day. 844-747-2577 is the number. A little bit later in the program, I'm very excited about this. I'm going to reveal to you the vision, purpose, mission statements and how you can use them. Now, we've talked about purpose statements here on the show before, and I kind of had tweaked them a little bit, but I'm going to go back to the fundamental definitions of a vision statement, purpose statement, and mission statement, tell you why you need to do them and what they provide for you. And this will all help you if you are in that discovery stage. And even if you're clear on what it is you want to do and you're in pursuit of it and you've never really laid out a really clear vision, purpose, mission statement. These are all three statements. They work together. They build on each other. And I'll explain how. But if you haven't done this, this is a great exercise. So I'm going to teach you on this just a few minutes. It's going to be gold. So stay tuned for that. 844-747-2577 is the number. Let's go to Nancy, who's on the line in Duluth, Georgia. Nancy, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, how are you?
I am living the dream. How can I help?
Good. Well, I've been a software test engineer for 25 years with various companies, and I just don't want to do it anymore.
Okay.
So I've been trying to, been looking at different things, and I'd like to get into something in real estate, preferably property management. So I've contacted several property managers in the area, also gone into a lot of apartment complexes and talked to the leasing agents to find out how I can get my foot in the door. And everyone has told me they want me to send in a resume. So my question is, how do I write a resume for a job that I have no experience in? Because if somebody's going to say I have a master's degree and I have a test engineer, I don't know that they'd even look twice to for me as a property manager.
Maybe. I'm telling you, I'm impressed with somebody who's been an engineer for 25 years at one place. Yeah, you're laughing because you know I'm right. You kind of act like you've been doing balloon animals for 25 years. I mean, if you were doing balloon animals for 25 years, and I'm not, I don't want to knock anybody who's doing balloon animals for a full-time job. That's a joke because there's nobody that's doing balloon animals for a full-time job. Okay, so the point is, if that's what you've been doing for 25 years, then I'd go, that is a little bit of a thing. But I wouldn't worry too much about the resume, and I'm going to tell you why. You are actually, you're getting after it with the proximity principle, which says in order to do what you want to do, you've got to be around people that are doing it and in places where it is happening. You're doing it, but I'm largely guessing by the way you told me that you're doing it cold. You're just showing up off the street. Nobody knows you when you walk in the door.
Right.
Okay, so I don't want to hurt your feelings, Nancy, but this is going to, it might sting a bit, but it's going to free you up, okay?
Mm-hmm.
When all those people are telling you to submit a resume, that is a nice way to say, can you please leave? We're not interested because we don't know you. I promise. I mean, they're going, oh, yeah, submit a resume because you walked in off the street. Now, I don't think, Nancy, for a half second that you're crazy. But they don't know that. You just walked in off the street. You're just talking to people. So here's what I like about you. You need to use the proximity principle the right way. You're doing it the wrong way. You're definitely getting around people that are doing what you want to do. You've put yourself in places where what you want to do is happening, but you're doing it the wrong way. You've got to use relationships, and you have been, and by the way, I know Duluth well. I lived in Sewanee for 11 years.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, you know a lot of people in Duluth and Sewanee, and let's just say Gwinnett County. Am I right? And probably surrounding counties.
That is correct.
Well, I want you to stop doing cold drop-ins off the street and cold calls and everything else. I want you to think about your close personal network, and then I want you to think about your acquaintances. And this is important because most jobs come from our acquaintances, not our close personal network. Let me explain. For 25 years, you've been in Gwinnett County and surrounding, you know, suburbs of Atlanta. You do you have kids?
They're grown.
What's that?
My daughter's grown.
Okay, but my point is, she knows a lot of people, and you know a lot of people who know her. You know people through just having a kid. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
And so I'm just trying to get your brain going on all the people you know. You might know close and acquaintance 200-300 people. Well, then they know 200-300 people. I'm just making these numbers up, but these numbers aren't crazy. They might be low. They might be high, but even if they're low or high, we're still talking about hundreds and hundreds of people. Are you tracking with me, Nancy?
Yes.
Now the conversation is, I want to move into property management. I've got this vast experience as an engineer. I'm a rock star employee with high integrity, and I'm a serious professional lady who's responsible, and I've got all the chops to be able to do this. Property management is all about people skills and execution skills. Am I right or am I wrong?
Yes, and I just took the real estate exam this morning and passed it.
Great. So now you got that. You have got to work your relationships. Hey, do you know anybody who runs an apartment complex? Do you know anybody who is a developer of a neighborhood? Hey, do you know anybody who is an administrator of a private school? Or an administrator of a retirement home or community? Nancy, I just gave you some really solid ideas, but all you're doing is talking to everybody you know to say, do you know anybody that works here? Pick some places you'd like to work. Pick five places you'd love to be a property manager of. Ask all your connections, and not just your connections, but their connections. Hey, do you know, or do you know somebody who knows? Now, all of a sudden, Nancy, you are starting to identify places you want to work as a property manager, and the actual positions at those places are open. And now you're using your web of connections, which I write about in The Proximity Principle, my best-selling book.
Mm-hmm.
I write about this, and I'm going to give it to you as my gift to you, okay?
Oh, perfect. Thank you.
All right. Now, you got to read it, and then because I'm giving it to you, after you read it, you need to either give it away or buy one for somebody else. Is that a deal?
Okay, that's a deal.
I think that's a fair deal.
Mm-hmm.
So here's the deal. I gave you just kind of a snapshot. It's going to walk you through way more detail than this. But that's the experience that you need to be changing into. This is what I'm doing now. This is how I'm going to go about it. And Nancy, here's what's going to happen. You're going to have your resume, which doesn't even matter. You understand what I'm saying? Back to your original question. Mm-hmm. Your resume having property management experience on it is relatively worthless. Because you know how to deal with people. You know how to execute. You're an engineer, for crying out loud. So bottom line is, you do have all the necessary skills and passion to pull this off. So what you need to do is do what I just told you. And that's how it works. Just use the proximity principle. And when you do that, opportunities are going to find you. People are going to go, Nancy, hey, I'm happy to walk your resume into somebody. I'm happy to walk your resume in and connect you. So that's how it works. Hold on the line, and Madison will get you the copy of the best-selling book, The Proximity Principle. It's available wherever books are sold or at kencoleman.com. And folks, it tells you the five people you need to know, the five places you need to be in so that opportunity finds you, and you're no longer doing what Nancy's been doing, which is just kind of submitting resumes all over the place. 844-747-2577 is the number. Okay, tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to switch over to coaching you on this vision, purpose, mission statement. I'm really excited about this. I mentioned this earlier in the week. And give you the context here. Many of you that are listening right now, you've heard people say vision statement. You've heard people say purpose statement. You've heard people say mission statement. And you think, well, oh, it's all the same thing. These are interchangeable terms. Well, no, they aren't. And it's important to understand how they're different, not because I want to just help you correct people at the next cocktail party. This is important because in discovery, which is the first stage of realizing the dream, this is a great exercise to go through as you begin to get clear on your top talents, skills, and strengths, and your top passions, work that gives you the juice that you look forward to, you love doing, and it's rewarding. The results of the work is rewarding. So here we go. The first is a vision statement. So I want to tell you what each of these statements answer, because they answer big, giant life questions. The first question that the vision statement answers this question, and it is, where do I want to go? Where do I want to go? So this is that Mount Everest analogy that you folks hear me say over and over and over again, the summit, the top of Mount Everest. This is the dream job. You would love this. You could fantasize about this all day long and it gets you going. So a vision statement helps answer that question. Where do I want to go? So when you get the answer, so for me, I'll give you an example and coach you through this. For me, it was, hey, I want to be a broadcaster on a national level, broadcasting for the purpose of helping people's lives be better. I want to be nationally syndicated. I want to be a best-selling author. And thank God we've accomplished those things just in this last year after a 9-year slog. That's just a fact. It takes time. So what is your vision statement? Write it out. Write it out in pencil. I'll explain why in just a few moments. So the vision statement gives you clarity. It gives you clarity. I can always retreat back no matter what life throws at me. And there's going to be days where things get confusing. And the vision statement allows me to retreat back to clarity. I don't need to focus on this nonsense over here. Why did I let myself get distracted over there? This is the mountaintop. Now, the vision statement is the where we want to go, and it gives us clarity. Leads to purpose. The purpose statement. Well, the purpose statement explains and answers the why we want to scale that mountain and get to that peak. So it is the why I want to go there. We know where we want to go, and purpose is why we want to go there. So a purpose statement helps us and reminds us our why behind the where. You'll hear me ask callers that a lot. I'll say, where do you ultimately want to end up? And they'll tell me, and I'll say, why? What's the why? Well, because I went through that. Or because my mom and dad went through that. Or I saw that growing up and it moved my heart. So this is about conviction. So the purpose statement and the why is about conviction. This is the heart. This is what makes the heart sing, the heart come alive. It's about conviction. That leads to the third statement, mission. The mission statement is a very practical, detailed statement, not philosophical. And, like the first two. The first two are more kind of out there, high purpose, high calling type stuff. Mission is how I will get there. This is very practical. How am I going to get there? You see this statement crafted from those questions in stage two of realizing the dream, which is research. What's out there? The sweet spot has multiple paths and multiple callings and careers in it. So I got to do some research so that I get confirmation that this is in fact what I want to do. And so the mission statement, after you've done the research, you can write a mission statement. And this gives you confidence. It's not so scary. Still going to have fear attached to it. But when fear begins to overwhelm you, you retreat to the mission statement and you go, yep, that's stupid fear telling me there's not a way. There's not enough time. Not a clear path. Yes, there is. There is a clear path. So those are the statements. Again, the vision answers the question, where I want to go, gives you clarity. The purpose statement answers why I want to go there. And it gives us conviction. And then mission answers how I will get there, and it gives us confidence. Write these in pencil. Why? Because you need to read them daily and edit them daily. Because this is a growth process. And as you continue to move along the path, you will need to edit these statements. Not tremendously, but enough that writing them in pencil allows you to kind of revisit, and it takes the stress off of the clarity, the conviction, and the confidence that these statements provide. Coming up, we'll get to more of your calls, 844-747-2577. You're listening to The Ken Coleman Show on Sirius XM. Hey, folks, fall is just around the corner, and it's hard to believe. And you're either going to make the decision now to change your future, or you're not. Listen up. I'm going to tell you right now how you can enter to win one of four $5,000 scholarships that Liberty University is giving away to their online programs. $5,000. Did you hear that, folks? It's time to stop thinking about it and actually do it. Life is way too short to be stuck in a boring job or to go to a job that you absolutely dread. Liberty University's online programs can help you further your career, become a leader in your industry, and get prepared for the job you really love and were called to do. With over 600 degrees offered through 17 colleges and schools that will prepare you to thrive, it's go time. To find out about entering to win the $5,000 scholarships and see the official rules, go to liberty.edu/Ken. Enter to win and apply now. liberty.edu/Ken. Welcome back, America. This is the Ken Coleman Show, helping you discover what you were born to do and then come up with a plan to make that dream job a reality. It is possible. 844-747-2577. Love for you to connect with us on social media. We're giving you content every day on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn. And so if you'd like to connect with us there, the easy way is just go to kencoleman.com and you can click on the links there. But just search at Ken Coleman on Twitter and Instagram. Ken Coleman on Facebook should be facebook.com/Ken Coleman Show. And also putting out one clip a day on YouTube. And I will just tell you this, we've got more coming to you on YouTube. If you like the idea of watching the show on video, you better subscribe to our YouTube page because we got some really fun stuff coming down the boulevard. So stay tuned for that. 844-747-2577. Let's go to Sandra, who's on the line in Fort Worth, Texas. Sandra, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Oh, hi, Ken. So glad I got a chance to speak with you. I'm not sure if it's a quick question, but it's basically, I'm not able to figure out what my sweet spot is.
Okay, well, we can do that. So what we do is we look at talent and we look at passion. You've heard me do this on the show, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Hello?
Yes.
Okay, great. All right. So you've heard us do this, and so I want you to tell me what you believe, what you've been told by other people that you do better than anything else. What are your top talents and skills?
Okay, people have complimented me before on writing, on my ability to research things, coming up with creative ideas, designs that I do for like newsletters or things like that.
Okay, so is that graphic design?
Kind of, yeah, but not like skilled. Right now I'm in oil and gas and I don't get to use any of my true skills or passions at all.
No, I understand that, but I'm trying to be crystal clear here. When you've done creative ideas, you said designs, and I'm asking you, were those graphic designs?
Yeah, like putting together like an ad or a newsletter,
okay,
like in
great.
Classes or for a church, things like that.
Okay, great. Awesome. Okay. All right, now tell me about the passion side. This is work that you look forward to, functions, roles. You get excited about these things. You're in the middle of them. you get so locked in that time seems to disappear on you when you're done with these tasks, roles, or functions, this type of work. You just feel so rewarded because you go, boy, that was fun, because you're good at it and you also enjoy it. What comes to mind?
I would say when I've had a chance to research something and maybe figure out a solution to it, or if I've put an itinerary together, even for traveling, anytime I've written something and had it complimented, I've really gotten a kick out of that.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. I'm trying to think of what really gets me going. I think once I finish a task and then it's completed, I enjoy having completed something. And, you know, sometimes there are roles where you work and there's no actual sense of completion,
right,
because there's just so much work.
Right.
I find that a tiny bit frustrating. So when there's an actual completion to it, I find that very satisfying.
Right. Okay. So this is fun, Sandra, because if I look at what you told me, I've literally wrote down what you told me. And on the talent side, you wrote writing. I wrote writing, research, creative ideas, graphic design. And then I asked you to tell me what you really like to do. And you said researching, writing. And then underneath that, I wrote a line under those two. And I just went, that's how she creates. You've done some graphic design, but you didn't mention that. But that is a part of your creative function. So you generally just love the idea of being creative. Am I right?
Yes.
I knew it. So here's what's interesting. Do you see they're the same words on both sides? That's not because you're confused. In your particular situation, in this particular sweet spot exercise, your talents are almost identical to the actual work that you want to do. And so that is a massive, massive confirmation. So need to be, you know, in some ways creatively functioning through the form of researching ideas for creative solutions or writing those ideas or writing content. But there's a form of creation. So that's what we know so far. Now, I'm going to take a chance here because I don't mind being wrong, or I don't mind you callers being stumped. But I'm going to just put you on the spot. And I want you to trust me, and I want you to say what your heart tells you to say without thinking. Is that possible? Can you try that?
Yes.
Okay, now, here's what we do. Here's the question. I want you to answer this question. Do not think. Just blurt it out. If I took away all the risks, I took away the training, the qualification necessary, I took away any kind of money concerns. Let's throw one more in just for good measure. Let's say I took away what other people would say that know you well, any criticism or questioning you, but I gave you an opportunity to do something different next Monday morning, risk-free. I snap my fingers and I give it to you. What would you do? Don't worry about job title.
Novel writer.
I love it. Novel writer. There it is. Okay, so that right there is a really good answer because it tells you what you really want to do. You want to creatively write. Let's just break it down from novel writer to what it is at its core. That's creative writing. Yes or no?
Yes.
Okay. Now, do you have to work full-time? In other words, do you have to bring in a certain amount of money right now for your financial situation?
Yes.
How much?
At least $63,000.
Okay. So, if you want to ultimately write novels, there's two ways to go about this. And I mean, I'm being oversimplified, okay? The first way is you just start writing your first novel tomorrow. Saturday morning.
Okay.
Get up early. You got white. You got a husband and kids?
No.
No, just you.
Well, I mean, I'm engaged. So
oh, okay.
In 2 months, I'll have a husband.
But my point is, Saturday mornings are your time.
Yes.
You don't have any distractions. I got a wife, three kids, and two dogs. My Saturday mornings are like a fun house. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm putting you to this. There's a couple ways to do this. You could start tonight. You could start tomorrow morning. You could sit down and give yourself 1 hour. You could go 2 hours. I'm trying to get you going here to understand what's involved. But you could write a character or two, and you could say, hey, I'm just going to start writing this thing, and I'm going to write a novel. And when I write this thing, I'm going to go put some extra money into paying a really professional editor to do this, somebody who's edited novels before. Maybe I self-publish, or maybe I try to find a book agent and I pitch this thing. That is extremely doable. And oh, by the way, that doesn't require you to quit your job. You got a lot of stability.
Right.
You got another income now coming soon.
Yes.
All right, now that's one way to do it. The other way to do it is for you to begin to use the proximity principle that says in order to do what you want to do, you've got to be around people that are doing it in places where it is happening, and you go hang out with some people who are professional writers. I don't care if they're writing for your local newspaper or they're a professional blogger. I don't care. Just somebody who makes a living writing. That would be a great first step for you to do anyway with my first plan.
Right.
But certainly into just looking into, could you replace your $63,000 or get close to it since we got another income coming in the house? You know, could you make 45 to 50? Would that be a big sacrifice? These are questions you got to think through. But what would the path be for you to just become a professional writer in some form or fashion to where you really are, instead of being in the oil and gas industry, are you writing novels as your ultimate dream job? No. Not full time. You're doing it on the side. But you could be a professional writer, you know, writing for a travel magazine or writing for a lifestyle magazine in Fort Worth or writing for a company, or you're doing marketing and you're a copywriter. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
But you're a professional writer, so at least you're playing with words all day long while you're writing your novel on the side. So that's the other path.
Yeah.
But both of these things don't require you to make this crazy jump off the cliff and leave your stable oil and gas job. Both of these are things you're going to pursue over time. The second path, I think, could happen quicker than you realize. You might not be able to jump right into $63,000, but you know, maybe you do some part-time writing. What if you do it on the side? You're writing the novel, and you're doing some part-time writing on the side. Maybe you're bringing in 15 to 20 grand a year. And maybe you save all of that. And maybe you get to the point where you save up $50,000 and you've been building and building and building your writing resume, and 2 years leads to 3 years, and all of a sudden, you got a really nice writing job in the Dallas area, Fort Worth area. And all along, you finish this novel. So, do you see the path?
Yes.
But you also called going, I don't know what my sweet spot is, and I think the writing thing is what we've been focused on because of your dream answer. But the reality is you're good with words. You are a researcher. So you could step out of the oil and gas industry with the economy that we're in and just do something where you're a researcher, where you're, you know, maybe writing business briefs, or you're in a writing research role. Maybe you're working for a marketing company. I don't know. That is possible as well. Within the sweet spot are multiple roles. But we know that what you do best is writing, research, creative thinking, creative ideas. You do have some design skills. Maybe you take a class there. You know, you have some options here. But I love the idea of you starting to write that novel tomorrow morning. That's fun.
I do too.
Yeah. Did you hear that?
Definitely.
That is the chuckle of a heart that is beginning to feel what it wants to feel. Way to go, Sandra. Thanks for calling in. I love that. Let's go to Jason, who's on the line in Vancouver, Washington. Jason, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hey, Ken, how are you?
I am living the dream. How can I help?
Well, I recently made a move from Vancouver back to the Tacoma, Washington area, so that's part of my my situation. Currently, I am a truck driver. I've been doing that for about 3 years now, and it's just not a passion of mine. I've been involved in aviation for a number of years, more recently in New Zealand, and I am a licensed private pilot, not a commercial pilot, so I'm just feeling stuck in this truck driving career.
Oh my gosh.
I'm not sure.
Of course you are. You have flown at 40,000, 45,000 feet among those cottony clouds, and now you're driving what amounts to a block of cement with wheels on it.
Right.
Okay, so what am I missing here? I don't want to get too distracted. I want to know what what's your driving question? Why'd you call me today? Because I want to know if that ties into my question, which is, how in the heck did you get out of being a private pilot and end up in a truck?
Well, being a private pilot, I can still do that just for fun, you know. But driving a truck is not my passion. I got into driving a truck because I returned to the U.S. from New Zealand after about a year down there. And prior to that, I was working in IT, doing network administration, and the jobs, I just wasn't getting any feedback or come talk to us sort of situation when I applied to jobs. So through a mutual friend of someone I know, I wound up going to the driving school.
I've already heard too much. I don't want to talk. What's your question for me today?
Well, I don't know what my sweet spot is. I guess I don't know where to go next. Okay. How to get there.
All right, so we'll figure out the sweet spot, but we got to determine what you're most passionate about, and I'm going to do what I don't normally do and start on the passion side. Work that makes you feel alive, work that you love. What is it?
Ultimately, if I had no barriers, I would love to be flying an airplane.
Okay, what are the barriers? I see. I knew this. I knew this was the issue. We wasted 2 minutes, and it's my fault. I should have just said, you want to fly, don't you? So what are the barriers? Mm-hmm. What are the barriers?
Well, the barriers for me, I'm 50 years old. Retirement is between 60 and 65 for the airlines, and it's also a financial barrier.
What's the financial barrier?
The cost of getting there, the training.
Okay, but wait a second. You told me that you're a private licensed pilot right now, correct?
Correct.
Dude, I know four guys I'm thinking of right now that are private pilots that fly for big shots. Some of them are corporations. Some of them are well-known personalities that have private planes. They're making nice money. Real nice money. More than you're making in a truck right now. What are you making in a truck?
Last year I took gross is about $65,000.
Yeah, dude. They're making 3-4 times what you're making.
Right.
What are you waiting on? You don't have to. I understand you'd like to fly for one of the big commercial airlines, and that's still possible, by the way. Your 50-year-old excuse is not cutting it for me. Because you can. No, hold on a second.
Yeah,
I'm just telling you. But I don't know that that's the only path. Okay? But it is a very short path for you to get back up in the air flying for a private jet company. And then you get in that world again. And who knows who you could be flying around? A celebrity or something. You could be flying some G4. Like, you're limiting yourself, and I don't know why. Because you want to be up in the air. Who cares if it's for Delta, Southwest, American, United? Who cares? But you want to be flying a plane. And that's a premium position with your experience. So help me understand. What am I missing? Why aren't you pursuing being a private pilot again?
I did that a few years ago to finish getting my instrument rating and work on building hours and time, and also getting my commercial rating as well. I'm not able to fly for money right now because I don't have a commercial license.
I'm confused.
Well, as a private pilot, I can go fly single engine planes for fun, and then to make money at it, you have to have a commercial license on top of all that.
Okay, so what does it take to get the commercial license?
Probably a year or so time, and anywhere from, I'm ballparking about $30,000.
I'm questioning that. Who told you it takes $30,000? You look into that and get that checked about three different ways?
I haven't lately, no, but yeah. It does obviously cost money to fly a plane and get those hours accumulated.
I get that, but my point is, can you not be driving a truck and then also moving into aviation? I mean, that private pilot's license that you have, I know it's single engine, but how can you be making money flying single engine stuff? You know, I don't care if you're, I mean, there's, that's not all just funsy stuff. You know, I don't know. Can you be an instructor? Like, how do you get yourself back up in the skies? And right now, you need to be making more than $60,000. And that truck, you know, you can be learning, making connections while you're behind the wheel of that truck. But brother, listen, I don't mean to, I'm never unkind on this show. I'm never going to be, but you're offering me one excuse after another excuse after another excuse. And I'm telling you, you are halfway there. Yes, it's going to take some money, but you can sacrifice and make it 60 in a truck. If you go get a side gig or whatever, and you cut everything, you can come up with the money to start getting that pilot's license. But I'm telling you, I know people who have that private license. I don't know that it's $30,000, but even if it's $20,000, you can save that money up. We talk to people every day at Ramsey Solutions that pay off $20,000 debt in a year. So you can save that money up. And I also would I would practice the proximity principle too with people that are pilots right now and say, hey, what's the best way? Here's my situation. Here's my reality. What do you think? I just think you staying in your own world behind that truck, stuck in your own head without real connections and real answers is not helping you.
Yeah.
I mean, you need to be, when you're not in the truck, you need to be at the private airstrip hanging out. You got too much experience. You got too much to offer. Am I saying anything that's wrong? I don't mind if you disagree with me. Am I right or am I wrong?
You have some valid points, yeah.
This is about inertia. You got to get in it, man. You got to get after it. You're not too old. You're not too old at all. It is reasonable to believe. Are you single, in a relationship? What's your situation there?
I am single, no kids. I don't have any of that.
Oh, now I'm really fired up. Now you have zero. I'm serious. You have zero excuses. You got lots of time. You don't need a huge amount of money. You could really tighten your cost of living. You're behind a truck anyway. I'd stink and live in the truck. If I were 50 years old and single and wanted to get where you wanted to be, flying planes, I would be living in that truck, saving every dime I could. I'd be making extra money when I wasn't in the truck. I'd be at the airport, the private, and I would be working there, and I'd be saving that money up, and I'd go do it. I'd make that my number one mission in life, and I think before you realize it, you're going to look up, and you're back in the friendly skies again. That's what you need to be doing. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. I'm not picking on Jason. Jason has what it takes, but Jason thinks he's too old. Jason thinks the ship has sailed. He's been floundering and trying to get a technology job, and I can tell you why. Because he wasn't passionate about it. It's not what he wants to do. The guy wants to fly. If you want to fly, until you can fly, hang around with people that are flying. I mean, folks, I wanted to be a national broadcaster. You don't just get a show because you want it bad enough. No. I was hanging around with other broadcasters, taking them to lunch, getting them coffee, getting them Sprite during their show. Come on, folks. No excuses. Today's quote and question inspired by Tom Felton, who said, whatever life throws at me, I will take it and be grateful for it as well. Well, that's good, because life's going to throw some curves at us. So are you grateful for where you are and what you have? Because you need to be. Because where you are and what you have is your stepping stone to the next. Our time is almost up, but before I let you go, you matter, and you do have what it takes. Thanks for joining the conversation. Until next time, this is The Ken Coleman Show. Press on.
Thanks for listening to The Ken Coleman Show. For more, you can find the show on demand wherever you listen to podcasts and watch the show on YouTube. You can also find Ken across all social media by following @KenColeman.
Hey folks, I want you to check out our other Ramsey Network podcasts, such as the Entree Leadership Podcast with me.
Hey folks, Ken Coleman here with the Entree Leadership Podcast. We are a community of leaders, by leaders, for leaders, committed to bringing you practical ways to grow yourself, your team, and your profits. Every week, through world-class interviews, we bring you access to best-selling authors, CEOs, thought leaders, coaches, and more to help you with your life and your business.
You can start your journey at entreleadership.com/podcast, or you can search Entree Leadership wherever you listen to podcasts.